Off the ball. Rugby.
Yeah, they're very, very helpful players if you have them. But there's no young fellas in there that you're kind of... Mac Hansen is obviously much younger. His football nous is pretty high.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
So, as you'll know by now, Ireland's first ever global medal in multi-event competition came last week. Kate O'Connor picked up the silver medal in Nanjing at the World Indoors in the pentathlon. I'm delighted to say that Kate is with us on the line. Kate, congratulations and welcome home. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back on home soil. I had one of the best sleeps ever last night after like 30 plus hour travel. So yeah, feeling pretty refreshed right now.
You know you've made it when your airport arrival makes it onto the main evening news. So what was that like?
Oh, madness. It was actually, do you know what? It was lovely kind of coming home to that, because when you're away in a country like China, you're so removed from everything that's going on at home. So yeah, it was lovely to kind of come home and have a bit of a reception and kind of get to see my family and stuff, because I haven't got to see them even after winning the European bronze, because things have been, everything's been such a quick turnaround, and like the last 2 or 3 weeks of my life has been a little bit of a blur. So yeah, it was lovely to come back and just have, yeah, a nice wee gathering.
March 2025 is going to go down as an all-timer for you.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting to kind of see how this has developed over the course of those few weeks. And like, you talk about the fact that you get home on a Tuesday after winning that medal on a Friday, the amount of travel you had to do to get all the way back home. What I'm interested in is actually going out there and performing in this unbelievably arduous event, all the, your events taking place in one day, right after doing what you did in Apeldoorn. Like, surely the travel aspect was a massive factor that you had to deal with when you do get to China.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if I'm being 100% honest, and I don't know if I've said this to anybody, I probably was the most anxious I'd ever been going into a competition for that World Indoor Champs, just because there were so many variables that I'd never been dealt with before. So yeah, like the long travel was one, the food was another, and I had a little bit of an upset stomach because the food was kind of just different to what I would normally eat. There was, normally I would have really good training sessions coming into a competition, where my last training session, although it was European Indoor Champs and as amazing as it was, it's like, how well has my body recovered from it? How well has my body recovered from the travel? There was just so many different things kind of going on in my head, as well as then the pressures going into it. So coming off a medal and coming off performing so well, I'm now going into something where all the noise could kind of maybe disappear if I don't perform to what people are expecting me to. So it was definitely a weird feeling going into the championships, because yeah, there was a lot of things going on inside my head. But funny enough though, I actually enjoyed the competition a lot more than European champs, and I don't know whether it's because I kind of hurdle PB'd straight away and I was able to kind of settle into my groove, and I knew that I was going to be thereabouts for a medal.
So does that anxiety bring you all the way up to the starting line for those hurdles, or had you managed to compress it, deal with it, whatever you needed to do before that point?
I would say it's a tough one, because like warming up then for the hurdles, although I felt good, it's that still kind of feeling of like, am I like feeling good, like as in 70% or 80%, or am I actually up at 100%? But I also had a weird thought just before I went out into the hurdles, and maybe it was my way of coping with the level of anxiety that I was actually feeling, was that I just kept telling myself how much I love this sport and this is what I train for, and I love being here and I love feeling all the feelings that I'm feeling right now. But yeah, on the line, the hands were shaky. I was nervous, very, very nervous. But yeah, it was so reassuring to run that PB, because it just allowed me to kind of settle in and really like let myself know you're here and you're dinging. Like,
is that a technique that you've picked up to continually tell yourself, I love this sport, this is what we live for? Because I guess if you keep saying it, you're going to end up believing it.
Yeah, I think like it's definitely something that's like a great little thing to keep reminding yourself. Like, you don't turn up day in, day out and train for a sport that you don't love. And another like really good thing that I try to tell myself is like, training is where all the hard work goes in, and the competitions is where you get to turn up and show off to the world what you've been working on. And I think whenever you go in with that kind of mindset, it does take a little bit of the pressure off, because I'm not expecting myself to do anything spectacular or special at a competition, I'm expecting myself to turn up and replicate what I've been doing day in, day out at training. And yeah, when you go in and you know that you've been training well, it's just a case of, yeah, being able to kind of hold your nerve then is, I suppose, a special thing that you need to do in a competition.
When you talk about the pressure that was there maybe after the Europeans medal, was mm-hmm. that a self-imposed pressure? Was that the pressure that comes with the label of being European medalist Kate O'Connor, or was it totally different? Where what was the source of that pressure?
I would say that it's a good question. Like, I try my best not to think about like the outside pressures. So as in like what the public are going to think or what the journalists are going to write or what is maybe expected of me within the athletics world. But I do think like I'm an athlete that expects a lot of myself. And I think a lot of the pressure probably comes from knowing what I am capable of. And then just really, really wanting to go out and be able to perform and produce what I know I'm capable of doing. So I think that a lot of the pressure for me comes from myself. I'm sure that there could be a lot of pressures that's further out of the circle. But yeah, I try my best to like shut off that noise and just, because there's already a lot of noise going on internally. So yeah, it's best for me just to kind of try to not go there.
How do you manage to ensure that the level of pressure that you're placing on yourself is the perfect amount of pressure?
It's a really good question. And like it's something that probably now over the next couple of years, as fingers crossed, I keep building and I keep getting better and doing better and winning more medals. Something that like I'll need to tap more into sport psychology with and just lean on a couple of shoulders, because there is a lot that goes on like mentally. And I think that like a lot of athletics and a lot of sport in general is in your head and keeping your head. And yeah, being able to like turn up and just, if you're not there 100% mentally and other athletes are, that's where you're going to lose. Because a lot of the time I think that, especially in multi-events, a lot of us are doing the same sort of training, and it comes down to who stays injury free the longest and who keeps their head the best. So yeah, I think that it's actually something that I could tap into more and get better at. But I think naturally I'm quite good at like being able to reason out with myself what I'm doing and why I'm here and that I'm capable. And yeah,
I know it's probably going to take a little bit longer for all of this to kind of decompress and for you to be able to maybe answer this next question a bit more. But what are your early thoughts on confidence and what the last month is going to do for you? Is that something that you can actually allow yourself to rely on? Or given the fact that you've got a bunch of different opportunities to hit highs and lows in one day of this sport, you literally cannot allow confidence to become a part of your performance.
Yeah, I think that like there's definitely lots of things that I can pull from those two medals, and whether that's confidence for myself or just kind of, I suppose, slightly having a little bit of an like, ego when you're standing on the start line so that you can assert yourself and where you are and potentially play on other people's mental kind of mindsets. But for me, the real confidence comes from the fact that I finished the Olympic Games and I had this moment of like, I know that I could be one of these top girls, and how am I going to do this? And we decided that as a team, we were all going to shift our focus from getting to championships to medaling at championships. And I think that like, although like, obviously I've been putting in work for years and years and years, like medals like this don't just happen just because of what I'm about to say. But I do think that a huge proportion of it is because of this mental change that we've had. And it's really exciting. And yeah, it gives me a lot of confidence that we've put in a lot of hard work since September. And look how quickly we've reached the rewards of what we've set out to do. So yeah, I'm sure that obviously like I've been literally PBing in every event multiple times over and over and over again. And like, obviously that's going to start slowing down. Hopefully I'll still continue getting lots of small PBs and big PBs if they're there, but I would imagine that they'll slow down slightly. But it gives me so much confidence that, yeah, how quickly we were able to pull that together and get myself into medal-winning form.
It's amazing. And it's also, there's probably an element of relief in there, because obviously your ambitions are to be the very best in your sport, and you kind of need to strike while the iron is hot, I'd imagine, where you come out of that Olympics, your first Olympics experience, still as quite a young athlete. If you're 4 years down the line when you have that first experience, maybe you don't actually have the opportunity to hit these big targets immediately. So the fact that you've done this now opens up a whole suite of opportunities that you maybe wouldn't have believed you could get if you hadn't got these medals. I don't know.
No, definitely. And I think that, like, it's actually a thought that I've had a couple of times in my head of, like, why did I not have this realization, like, 4 years ago, when I could be maybe miles ahead of where I am right now. But I do think that, like, sometimes these sort of things just take experience. And sometimes, I don't know, for me, it was just like the penny dropped of, like, I'm putting in so much hard work day in, day out, and I'm just not where I want to be yet. So instead of one thing that I said at the very start, whenever we had a team meeting and I was kind of telling the guys what I want to set out and do, is that I felt like I was turning up to training every day for the last 4 years, and I gave 90%. So I gave maybe 90% to training, and I gave 90% to my recovery, and I gave 90% to what I eat, and I gave just 90% in general to my whole athletics in general. And I said, what I'm going to do this year is I'm going to give 100% in every single aspect. And that 10% day in, day out, obviously, if you do the maths and calculate it, that's a lot of 10% that add up over time that then feed into your performance. And I think that that is one of the biggest things that I kind of realized and that I've put into myself. And yeah, I've reaped the rewards of it.
Where did you find the 10% in training?
It's like, I suppose it's kind of a filter of, like, lots of different things. So, like, if you sleep well and you eat well, you're able to turn up and you're able to give more at training because you have more energy and you're recovered better. So whether that's like, I suppose, like, another thing is that, like, I wanted my coaches to expect more off me. I train alone. I train by myself, which is something that, like, I did see as a little bit of a barrier, because I'm a competitive animal and I know that I thrive off trying to do better than others or beat other people, and I don't have that. So I really made a point to my coaches of, like, I need you to expect more of me so I can expect more of myself, and I'll deliver as well as I can. That's just kind of what we've been doing. It's really worked. So
is there a line there for you when you ask your coaches to expect more of you? Does that ever kind of go over a line where it becomes too critical or too harsh? Or is that actually something that you want to embrace? You want to push that boat out?
I would say the line that we've met so far has been where my body has started to, like, break down slightly. So whether that's like, oh, I'm feeling like my right hamstring's not feeling great, or oh, my whatever's not feeling great. But as a team, we're so, like, close-knit that, like, I'm, like, very vocal on anything that I'm feeling. So after each rep, if I'm feeling like something's not great, like, that's, we've trained so smart this year, and it's just been, like, it's actually class for me to look back on, and I'm so proud of what we've done over the last couple of months, because we have trained so, so hard, but we've trained so, so smart as well. I have to take my hats off to my team, because as an athlete, you always want to push for more and you always want to do the extra rep and you always want to push the time. But I take my hats off to my coaches of, like, being able to keep a level head and take the wins on the days that we can take the wins, and walking away from sessions when we need to walk away from sessions. So, yeah, I think that it's been just great so far.
Just to go back to the 90% thing, it obviously makes total sense that, you know, you eat right, you sleep well, you're going to be able to train closer to 100% the next day. What did you change on that front? Is it just maybe being a little bit more uncompromising when it comes to, say, your bedtime? If you're chatting to somebody, it's like, no, this is me, I've got one career, this is it. When it comes to a cheat meal or whatever it is, cutting that out, like, when it comes to the specifics of how you managed to find that 10% in sleep and nutrition, how did you go about it on those two fronts?
I think that, like, I've just tried to be, like, more deliberate with what I'm doing. So it's not like a case of, like, if I'm having a conversation with someone, like, I have to be like, oh, I have to go to bed. Like, I don't believe in, like, having, like, an extreme strict routine where, like, there's no wriggle room. Or just, like, if a friend texts me and says, do you want to go out for food? I'm not going to say, oh, no, I can't do that. Like, I don't believe that that's, like, the way to live, or definitely not me. Just having things planned out a little bit better and not lying in bed and flicking on TikTok for an hour sleep, and just not making compromises where I don't have to make compromises. And then as for, like, the nutrition side, just being more conscious of what I'm eating, making sure that I'm trying to fuel myself well enough to train at the top level. But yeah, also not like, you've obviously got to make sacrifices, but within reason. Like, you don't want your life to be a living hell, obviously, and just trying to claw through every day. Like, that's not what I'm about anyway, and that's not what any of my team have expected of me. But yeah, just being a little bit more deliberate and a little bit more conscious in what I'm doing is kind of really what I've been looking at.
Yeah, because I'd imagine there's been athletes in the past who have gone after the 100% thing and sacrificed all sense of joy that they might have had in their life. So it's really interesting to hear that uncompromising is actually an inaccurate way to describe your approach.
Yeah. No, I don't think, I think that it's a very doable thing chasing 100% without making your life a misery. I don't think that, and actually I think that happiness and enjoying the sport is a huge part in contributing to the 100%. If you don't love what you're doing, you're not going to turn up and you're not going to be able to give 100% over and over again, or you reach what I suppose a lot of athletes know is burnout. And that's not something that I ever want to do, and it's not the way that I want to live my life either. I want to enjoy my life and enjoy what I do. So yeah, it's kind of, I suppose it is a fine line, but it's just like keeping, again, your head in check and making sure that like it never becomes that kind of side of things.
Yeah. Kate, I remember chatting to you back in 2021. You just set an Irish record in the heptathlon. And you hadn't done a heptathlon in 2 years at that point. Now, I know this was pandemic time, so obviously all those gaps had got a little bit elongated. But I was just reminded of that when you were talking at the start, maybe about how you had a little bit of anxiety about your preparation for the Worlds because you're traveling to the other side of the globe. And then you show up and it's PB in the hurdles straight away, brilliant high jump, just shy of your PB, PB in the shot put, and then a third in the long jump. It's kind of weird that, you know, those two things have kind of happened in your life on the back of preparation or on the back of a rhythm going into the competition almost.
Yeah. Sorry, my mom's just pulled in front of me and she's got the big waving in front of me.
dead right to be giving you the big wave. Have you seen her much since you come home?
I seen her. Obviously, she was at the airport yesterday, right? Whenever, I suppose for the welcome, but she was away at work there today. Sorry. Can you just repeat the end of the question?
Feel free to prioritize your own family ahead of us here, Kate. Don't be afraid to pull away from this interview. But if you have a moment, I was just asking about the preparation and maybe how it wasn't ideal because it was in China. You nail all those PBs. And it just reminded me of 21 when you said, I hadn't done a heptathlon in 2 years and then I break the national record.
Yeah, like that heptathlon, gosh, it's so long ago now that happened. But that was, yeah, so it was another event that I went into that obviously you weren't doing any individual or you weren't able to compete beforehand because of COVID. But that whole time in my life, like going back to it, like I actually ended up, I was on the track to get to Tokyo and I ended up getting injured. And so that competition was like such a high time for me and like amazing to come off. And then like next of all, I was experiencing this like extreme low of like watching the Olympics from home. So just even bringing up like that whole time, like I feel so sorry for me back then because like, being turning up to a competition and competing with the best of the world and being one of the best of the world at that time. And then that being all ripped away from you just makes what I've done now even sweeter. Turning up to these major championships and winning the medals and coming away unscathed and being injury free and being able to look on to the rest of the year and plan out what I'm going to do for the rest of the year and actually be able to attack it. And I've come such a long way from back then. I'm a completely different person, a completely different athlete. But yeah, I'll have to go back and watch that that interview and see what I said. Hopefully nothing too embarrassing.
Not at all. It was an amazing time. But like when you say that, and you said it, you maybe feel sorry for that person in 2021, is there a part of that experience in 2021 that is the reason why you are where you are today?
Oh, definitely. I think that like every experience that you experience in sport is like a learning curve and something that you can keep building upon. I learned so much from that competition, like just even, I suppose, nutrition-wise, like I'm a changed athlete from then. I think just even dealing with the highs and then dealing with like extreme lows, like that was a real learning curve, like dealing with like the blow from sport when it doesn't go well. Like I had never experienced, I suppose, a low like that before, where I'm sitting at home and watching a competition that I've obviously like dreamt of going to my whole life, which was the Olympics, and not being able to get there. And I suppose then, like, sorry, fast forwarding on to last Olympics, I had a really, really bad injury at the start of the year, where I hurt my ankle really, really badly. And in that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, like, is this like me not making the Olympics 2.0? And yeah, so then I suppose getting to the Olympics last year was more of like a relief and like a, like, let's just enjoy this now that you've made it. Which is not the kind of athlete that I want to be. I don't want to ever be an athlete that turns up and like be satisfied with just making a competition, because that's not who I am. But with the circumstances and what had happened at the previous Olympics, it was just like a, right, I'm here, let's enjoy this experience. And yeah, I've taken so much away from that experience, and I suppose back in 2021 as well.
That's one set of sliding doors, that injury. And I guess the general pandemic, I guess, is a sliding doors moment for pretty much every human on the planet. For you, it meant moving home from Sheffield. I know you had the opportunity around then before you went to university to go to Texas as well. So that wasn't something that was bestowed upon you. That was a decision that you made. In hindsight, it worked out pretty well, right? Coming home, being at home, training here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's class. Like, to be an athlete that has been at home and trains at home and has managed to win these two medals without having to go abroad, without having to find coaches from other countries, that's something that's really special. And like, I think it's great for other coaches and athletes that are at home to realise, like, right, we can actually do this. We're good enough and we have good enough resources. And I think that athletics in general is starting to take a step up in the world, and specifically in Ireland. And I think it's being recognised a lot more and backed a lot more. And yeah, I hope that, I suppose, more money's pumped into the sport, more money for the athletes, coaches, and then facility-wise. But yeah, it's really exciting to see, like, and I'm hoping that even just like national champs and stuff this summer, that the turnout with the fans and stuff from the country will be good. And yeah, it'd be great for the athletes, for people to turn up and give our sport a bit of support.
If there's one thing that you're maybe missing or lacking or could do with a bit more help in when it comes to the supports and the structures that exist in this country, what would those things be?
It's a good question. The thing is with multi-events, it's an event where you're not able to compete at home. So I've got to always travel abroad for the competitions, because weather is a huge thing when you're competing outdoors for 2 days. Weather is huge, but also for a competition and chasing the ranking points, it's always abroad for me. So I suppose being able to fund that, whether it's, so it's for the flights, for all my coaches, to bring a physio along. There's like a lot of like outside factors. It's not just me turning up, it's all the other stuff around it, and then obviously staying at the competition. I actually seen there that there's talk that the track in Dundalk is going to be signed off on, hopefully, fingers crossed,
right,
in a couple of weeks. So that would be great. Like, I know there's so many athletes in Dundalk and so many young little kids. I've been to a few events and there's a lot of them. So I think it would be great for not just me, but for the community and the wider community, to have a little bit, a track there that's available for everyone to use.
Well, one other thing that kind of comes into my mind when you mentioned that, like, and it's something that's always put to you, is this idea that you are a complete trailblazer in this sport in Ireland, because, look, as I said at the top, it's the first multi-event medal that Ireland have won on a global level. And we're having this conversation last week as well about, you know, who potentially inspires you. Like, if we rewind the clocks a good bit, and certainly when it comes to your own family, I'm sure your dad, as somebody who lived in Newry, right, for a lot of his life, would have been, like, greatly influenced and inspired by somebody like Mary Peters. It's a leap that I just hadn't even made, because it's 1972 and in your consciousness as an athlete, there was maybe no imprint. But I did wonder, has there been a crossover there? Has there been any sort of inspiration that you can pull from somebody who competed, whatever, five decades before you did?
I suppose, like, as an athlete from Ireland, I've always looked up to, yes, the likes of Mary Peters and stuff, but Sonia Sullivan and Daryl have always been, like, the names that, like, have for me, like, in this country, who I aspire to be, like, and obviously, like, the some of the best sports people that Ireland have ever seen. So they've been people that I've always chased, but I've actually done quite a few events with Mary Peters, and she is such an amazing woman. Like, even now, the way that she, like, so that she's able to hold herself and conduct herself at events. Like, she's just a class person watching her stories class, and the way that she was able to pave like the way for herself is unbelievable. But I suppose for multi-event specifically, like, my main role model, the person that like made me look at the TV and say, this is what I want to do, was Jessica Ennis. I'll never forget. I watched her in 2012 at the Olympics, winning that gold medal. And that was the moment that I knew, like, I want to be like her. I'm going to do that. And I think that, like, that's something, like, that I probably won't understand or maybe fully grasp until maybe I retire from athletics. But I have so many parents messaging me saying, like, that their child has watched me on the TV and has decided they want to start athletics, or they want to try the high jump, or they want to try the shot put, or they want to try. And I just think that, like, it's class for kids to have a role model like that on the TV to watch and say, do you know what, maybe I'll give that a go, because that's what I did. That was me whenever I was younger, and that was a realization of, I want to run like that in front of a huge crowd like that in a country that maybe I'd never ever get the chance to go to without sport. So yeah, it's pretty special.
Do you get lots of those sorts of messages, Kate?
Recently, as of the last 3 weeks. I've had a lot of those messages, but it's lovely to see. Without sounding like, oh, so many messages. No, don't mean it.
It doesn't come across like that at all, because as I say, it's probably the question you get asked about the most is, like, you know, who are your inspirations and all that, because it's kind of new to us as well to have somebody representing Ireland well in a sport that hasn't had a world-class competitor in it. So by process of elimination, you are the gold standard on that front. So I can absolutely imagine that the inbox has been flooded. There's one other thing I wanted to ask you, Kate, and apologies about this, but when I saw the quote, I just absolutely had to ask you, and I'm sure you've seen it yourself, but Georgie described you as a killer. I admire so much about what she does. I probably don't tell her enough. So give us the secrets. How do you become a killer in the eyes of a professional footballer?
This is hilarious as well, because whenever that quote came out, I actually phoned him and I was like, why did you call me a killer? That was the worst choice of word ever. Because he was like, oh, I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I think that, like, what he probably more means is, like, I'm a highly competitive person, like, in every aspect. And he was probably the person that made me realize it the most, because obviously I've just grown up with my family just me being me, and no one's ever actually said that to me. But yeah, he was the first person that ever said to me, like, you are competitive in every single way. So not just in sport, just like in life. Like, I don't know. It just comes to me. And it just comes to me. I don't really know why. I love trying to be the best at when I'm doing something. And I put 100% into everything always. Even if it's something that I'm not that good at, I'll still give 100% and try my best. I suppose that little article that he did was really, really nice, because he'd never see any of that sort of stuff to my face. So it was nice to hear him say that. He said in that he, like, learns a lot from me and, like, would, like, loves the way that I carry on or whatever. But there's a lot of things that, like, I look at him and, like, aspire to take from him. Like, he's really, really good at being able to step back from a situation and, like, analyze things from, like, an outside perspective, where sometimes, like, for example, with injuries, I can get, like, very, like, caught up in, like, what's just happened and really, really feel it. Where he's very good at being able to be like, wait a second here, I'm okay, I'm gonna survive, it's not the end of the world. So there's lots of little things that, like, we're complete opposites on, but we're able to kind of bounce off each other. And I think that's probably one reason why we work so well. We're so different in so many ways, but when it comes to sport, we're able to kind of help navigate different things together. So yeah,
that's amazing. Kate, listen, congratulations on an unbelievable March. I'm sure there are going to be many more months like this, but hopefully you'll have the time to decompress and appreciate all the brilliance of the last month. Thanks so much for making time for us since you've been home as well, and we'll chat to you soon.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Off the Ball Daily.